I am Marshall Cheeto. Hear me roar. I am the Cheeto Bandito. I came along before, in the ancient times, when the poets strode on horses of red and green. There was a scene with the ancient prophet. We spoke the word. It was the bird. You are the Mango Durango. You are the Duke of Orange. You are the suntan man that Nietzsche spoke of in Japan. You are Marshall Tito, Dorito Bandito. Yes, indeed. I'm working out. I'm getting pumped up. Check it out. Check it out. Check it out. I'm getting pumped up. Oh, just like Al Pacino in Cruising. Getting ready. Yes, it's Sunday right around 5:10 p.m. here on the Olympic Peninsula. We're just doing a stupid live stream until the very end. They gave us some snow today, Lockheed and Raytheon. Look up at the hills. You'll see the special gumbus. Everybody is welcome. The whole world is welcome. Bring all your children, you're welcome. Come on down to the dirty part of town. Join us here while Mr. Scrumbo grabs a beer. You'll be friends again when we become the Wolverine. Are you ready to become the Wolverine person? Sure you are, fucker. Hey, what's up, Neutral? You tell me, Scrumbo. We're special king-made. Can you hear me okay? You're on the internet. You're my friend. Can you see my screen, my friend out there on the internet? Can you hear me scream? Can you see my screen? Are you there, my special Care Bear? Hello, Care Bear. Give me a mind fuck. Thank you, friend. So we'll get started since we have a full room, which is usually one. So I ended up sending out an essay to my good friends out there. I'm not going to read it out loud. I don't really see the point in doing so. I have been talking about this since 2016, a couple blogs ago. And that's funny. What happened to the blogs? We don't talk about it. We don't talk about it. I think we could be a few weeks away from the next big step in the wrong direction. If you remember late 2019, I started talking about things like the Great Discontinuity, Panic in the Year Zero, the stranded unconscious skier. You remember the skier? Fancy pants software engineer at Microsoft. He makes 400K. His best friend is gay. He has women who follow him every day. He's going up to mountains to go skiing with his friends. It's beautiful up there. There's gonna be a, yeah, underwear model party in the chalet. Oh my God. They say Sydney Sweeney might be there. Our good friend, let's call him Bob, is heading on up to the ski resort. He puts on his skis, his outfit. It's about 3 p.m. in the afternoon. Let's say it's December, so the sun is going down. Remember, it's Pacific Northwest. But he, you know, the lights are on and you can ski at night and he's going to spend some time out there. And he goes down the wrong trail at the wrong time with too few people around. Nobody sees him. And he skis off on a trail and basically hits a limb, gets struck unconscious. He's not dead. He's just unconscious in a snowbank. But since he's unconscious, and he will be for the next 6 hours, he's technically slowly dying. Our poor skier. Now, in his head, in his dying head, he's at the chalet. He's with the underwear models. He's drinking champagne. Ha 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 ha, Mr. Fancy Pants. In my humble opinion, that was the U.S. economy between 2009 and 2019. I certainly believe there are people in Fantasyland, the donut around Washington, D.C., high-tech research, dropping bombs on people, giving people injections. You made good money during those years, but for most people, it sucked, and their situation kept getting worse. I feel about the same right now in the sense that we're about to take another big step down, but this time around, no amount of PSYOP is going to cover it up. It's going to be real, it's going to be brutal, it's going to be in your face. For example, there are many things you can do to trick people into being sick or well. You really can't trick people into having full stomachs, not really. Remember, the parable of the stone soup involves people bringing shit to put in the fucking soup. Am I right, my friends? You know what I'm saying. And the United States will starve last. We might not have as much starvation as other countries. And if that's the only problem we face in the coming months, that might not be a big deal. But I think there's going to be a lot of other problems, and it will be so severe that the things we take for granted, the structures, the pieces, the bits and pieces of human civilization that we take for granted, are going to start falling apart. Now, if you were to ask me, is there a place I could go? Well, don't go to a fucking city. I would say maybe the tip of South America, if you left for there 20 years ago. Maybe somewhere in Utah, or maybe Port Angeles even, if you arrived here 10 years ago. For most of us, we're just arriving wherever we're at too late, or we're just not going to be able to move. I mean, this is musical chairs. I remember talking about this 10 years ago, saying the music will stop, and wherever you are, you are. Going 20 miles on that day will be harder than going 2,000 miles previously. People didn't believe it. They didn't want to believe it. But here's the deal, folks. If you start putting your homes up for sale today, right now, there's a very good chance that it's too late. Now, does that mean you won't sell your home? You might. You probably could. I think BlackRock and other REITs and organizations are still buying shit up because the music will play on the Titanic until the fucking bitter end. The music will keep fucking playing. I think the stock market will go up even after the food gets cleared out of the grocery store. They will keep the ops going, the mind fucks going as long as they can. And then at some point, the brick on the string gives way, and even the curtain is dropped, and even the people staring at their phones will see nothing. And so that's where we're at in the game. I don't like talking about it a lot because, frankly, it's kind of a depressing subject, but it's the truth. And I think I've been feeling as if since 2021, there were no clear guideposts, that it pretty much did seem like a giant blank space. I think we're starting to see things again. And what I'm seeing don't look good. We'll see. You should have sold your home 10 years ago. In a scenario like this, it's not like investing, where people say, oh, you were too early. No. On this one, given the social capital you would have needed to build prior to arriving wherever you're going, There's no such thing as too early, but 20 years ago would have been perfect. And yes, you would have missed out on the doubling or tripling of the value of your home. And in the process, you would have built roots. In the process, you would have known to buy silver and gold cheap. In the process, you might have learned how to farm and do so sustainably. So if you're measuring make-believe money wealth versus survival, okay. I mean, that's kind of how people work on YouTube, right? Anywho. Are you preoccupied with the Iran war? Missile strike coming down, hitting buildings, hitting towns, Beersheba, Tel Aviv, Haifa. Of course you enjoy it. But did you ever consider that this is also a movie? I'm not saying it's not happening. It's like the Ukraine war. It must be happening, right? I mean, that's what they tell us. But a lot of it, in terms of timing, is fucking perfect. If this is the best case scenario, then this is the moment that the gangsters set the restaurant on fire. If this is the worst case scenario, the gangsters know that the building will catch fire on its own. Which one do you prefer? The one where they light the match? Or the one where the match was lit a long time ago, baby, and there ain't no fucking thing you can do about it but ride it out? You tell me, baby. You tell me. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. I get paid on Tuesday. I'm loading up on ramen and beans. I'm loading up on chili and canned meats. Ramen was 50 cents a pack last week. I bet on Tuesday it'll be $1 a pack. I bet 2 weeks from then it'll be $5 a pack. And then you could say, you know, Dan, oh, it's okay, in about a month, it'll be just $50 a individual pack. And your wages will go up if you don't get fired by the school district. It'll all be fine. But I think we already had the hyperinflation, bro. And what happens in 2 months is there's no fucking ramen. There's no deliveries. There's no diesel. The water levels of the Ohio River and the Mississippi, Missouri, not so great. And I don't know if you know this, but a significant portion of grain, what we're going to produce this year, what we'll produce, right, with the fertilizers, that grain goes on the river. If the river's too fucking low, they can't ship the grain down below. The grain gets rotten on the vine, and the pigs are not going to be fine. Yeah, I think about the time a pack of ramen gets to $5, you might as well assume that next week after that, there might not be any ramen. So buy it $5. Believe me, everything you see right now, and I've been saying this for 10 years, but people didn't fucking listen, it's all on sale. It is. In a basic sense, it's on sale. I'm not saying it's free, but a lot of it simply isn't going to be there at any price. And the Costco shipping, HDTV, computers, electronics, I don't know what to tell you. If you think people will still need computers after things turn to shit, then load up and put them in a Faraday cage. I don't know, baby. So I saw this advertisement for Poly Market when I was on Zero Hedge. And again, it's almost April, so maybe this isn't too far off, but it has this 8% chance that that crude oil will hit 120 by the end of March. Okay. I think Poly Market might be owned. I think that there's a reason why, I think there's a basic reason why the markets aren't doing so bad, and that's because what I've said is true. This is a neo-Stalinist hellhole. This is not free markets. Ever since 2009, if you could see, at around 2:45 Eastern Standard Time, all the markets went up. All the markets went up. That's why they kept saying, buy the dip, buy the dip, buy the dip. Don't fight the Fed. Yeah, don't fight the Fed. But here's the thing, folks. The Fed is not a magical institution. The Fed is not magical. They're not wizards. And they can print money, but they really can't print oil. Sorry. Well, let's see if anybody's in here. Because I think, hey, alcohol wood chipper, what do I buy? Listen, Bryce, glad to see you. I hope you can see my screen okay. I came across this Iranian propaganda. And again, I have no dogs in this hunt. All I see in this is victims. But this particular video, if you go to my website, is kind of funny because at one point, a Lego version of Rachel Corrie, and if you don't know, Rachel Corrie was run over by an Israeli bulldozer, a military bulldozer, I think back in 2003. It was a long time ago. And, you know, like most things, like the USS Liberty, in America, we didn't care. Oh, she's just a liberal. It didn't matter. I'm pretty certain her parents cared. But at one point in this, Rachel Corrie hits the button and sends a missile towards Israel. And I think that's pretty funny. I don't know if we should watch it. That would be crazy. I'm not going to bore you, but I am leaving you this little breadcrumb. We've talked about a few historical events to be thinking about. We've talked about Gallipoli. We've talked about Task Force Smith. We've talked about the Thucydides trap and the Russo-Japanese War. And another event that is worth meditating on is the Battle of Adrianople. Edward Litvak wrote a book I read in graduate school called The Grand Strategy of the Roman Empire. And basically, in this book, he kind of lays out what the Romans did between the 2nd and 4th century AD to sort of maintain control. And it didn't really work that well. They went through a lot of different strategies, including what you could refer to as a rapid deployment force. It didn't work. They gave up on the milepost system. The borders were infiltrated by tribes. And by the time you get to 378, it's probably too late. It's significant because it is considered the first major strategic defeat of the Roman military. And this is Roman historians at the time going back to the Second Punic War. From their perspective, this was the most significant defeat in over 600 years. Or at least almost 600 years. So, worth digging into if you want to. So what have I been saying if you listen to my podcast, bros and hoes out there? What have I been saying? The Federal Reserve is chasing a tiger. They're running from a bear. Now, if you think this is tenable, you've never been there, and there's not enough cocaine. Jerome Powell is running and chasing a tiger. Jerome Powell is running from a bear. If he catches the tiger, the bear eats him. If he tries to catch the bear, the tiger slashes him. And I was telling people this was the reality. A lot of people were going back to 2019. There is no easy escape ramp. The argument that they can keep fiddling with interest rates is absurd. We have too much debt, and it's not just the federal debt. It's private debt. It's hidden debt. People are barely talking about the private markets. You know about the gating. The reason why these private funds are gating is because credit default swaps and various derivatives are starting to implode. And when these bets start to implode, somebody has to pay. And guess what? No one has the money to pay. Right now, people are sort of putting this as, we have a choice between crushing or crippling inflation or economic collapse. And what people are confused about is that both are going to happen. We are going to get inflation until the shortages arrive, and then we will have the worst depression in American history. Going back to the 1870s, and the 1870s depression was pretty fucking bad. And this is going to be way fucking worse. And that's if we're lucky. Like, again, you need to know I'm bright-siding right now. Having conversations about it being economic in terms is bright-siding. But I want to be optimistic. I'm trying to take better care of myself. Look, I'm the Cheeto Bandito. You know, I come from Toledo. Yeah, what are we going to do there, Trump? Yeah, we already know the choice he's making. We already know. So, way back when, my dear friends, this would be back in 2014, I started one of my first novels. I never finished it, and then I lost the draft. But the title was Honeymoon, and the concept was a couple on their honeymoon who accidentally end up in a kind of covert, end up in the intrigue of a covert invasion of Alaska. The Chinese military had worked out a deal with us, essentially a secret deal with the CIA in our deep state, and said, listen, we will cancel all the debt, and we will make it look like World War III. We'll make it fast, we'll make it easy. We will invade Alaska with massive force, and it will be over in a couple of days. And then at that point, and again, you can imagine Donald Trump making this deal. And at that point, the government would step up and say, listen, there's nothing we can do. You know, they just put in like 1 million Chinese. That's double the population of Alaska or whatever. There's nothing we can do. Alaska is Chinese now and forever. Now, as the story unfolds, there are characters who say, no, we disagree, because this couple on the honeymoon, they accidentally find out about this. Again, I wish I had this draft, but it's gone forever. Let's talk about a scenario that could happen. And we've discussed it too. This entire enterprise is expected to crash the world economy. And again, we're bright siding. It's expected to crash the world economy, and it's expected to push a lot of countries into famine. Okay? These countries are going to get pissed off, and they're going to be asking for help, and they're going to be asking us and the Israelis to stop. At some point, food production will collapse. Then it's a question of whether the Russians and the Chinese decide to act. I think there's a fairly good chance that the United States has not been taking care of its deterrent the last 30 years, because add it to the rest of the grift. If you think our government would grift us in one way, why wouldn't they grift us in every way? If that's true, then most of our deterrent might just be the second stage fission initiators, basically 5 to 10 kiloton, maybe 15 kiloton plutonium cores. The portion of the bomb that would make it a thermonuclear bomb no longer works because of half-life. If that's the case, our deterrent is 1 divided by 1,000, roughly, maybe even 1/10,000 of what we're saying it is. That's pretty bad. 1/1,000 is bad enough. In the scenario, the Chinese and Russians launch a decapitation strike. They use land forces to take Guam, Okinawa, Hawaii, Alaska, and Greenland. Ha ha ha. The U.S. government collapses and is replaced with a peace government, probably a lot like what happened to the French during the Franco-Prussian War. The Russians and Chinese keep Greenland and Alaska, respectively, and the war ends. The U.S. empire's over. And in this scenario, the reason why Israel survives is that they turn on us. Oh, Dan, the state of Israel would never do that to the fine people of Scromptonville. I know they wouldn't, puddle flower. I know. The state of Israel would never, ever, 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 ever turn on us, because they are our necessary friendly aircraft carrier in the Middle East. Now think about this. If you remember the intro from the movie Red Dawn, and I mean the original, not the shitty remake, one of the historical events that's ongoing is basically widespread famine and food riots around the world. If what we in Israel are doing is pushing the world towards hunger, it's not difficult to see the world blaming us for that. And it's also not difficult to see the Chinese and the Russians as the quote-unquote heroes, at least as far as the people who are starving are concerned. I have no reason to believe that our defense is adequate to protect the homeland. We have been so busy going around the world creating an empire, I would say we should be deeply concerned that if somebody were to attack, we're kind of weak right now. It's like the thing with the E3 that got taken out at Prince Sultan Air Base, if you're not keeping up. This is one of those AWACS planes, okay? We only have 16 of them. Now we got 15. And I hate to break it to you, but if the Russians and the Chinese have mastered hypersonic, you know, ground-to-ground missiles, then they probably mastered hypersonic interceptors, which also means that our missiles, the missiles we'll depend upon as a deterrent, that's sub-based, that's ground-launched, that's air-launched, all of them can be taken out. And if the Russians and the Chinese have been investing in narrow-wave, microwave, and electronic warfare, then there's a fairly good chance they could take out the rest. It's hard to say. We could have woo-woo technology, but that doesn't mean that World War III doesn't get kicked off. If you're a brightsider and you think that this is just the collapse of the dollar, then right now is that period of time where the risk of world war is high. It's not permanent. If people with common sense could step up and say, we're not going to play this stupid game, we could stop it. But the thing that worries me, and it's kind of funny, is I was driving by these No Kings protests, and yeah, there was a sign here and a sign there that said stop the war, but there was almost nothing with, you know, there was almost no statements. I didn't see one statement that attacked the state of Israel. And that's the thing you'll find with these AstroTurf No King protests. You won't find anybody blaming the state of Israel. Oh, it's just Netanyahu. He's a bad apple. Guys, that apple tree ain't so big, and it ain't got so many branches. So when people say he's a bad apple, people need to reflect that the next in line are people just as bad or worse. They are all bad apples. Does that mean they should be destroyed? No. But does that mean they need to leave? Yes. You weren't supposed to go there in the first place. Are there Hebrews in the Middle East? Sure there are. They've been there for thousands of years. And they were told a long time ago in 1 Sam chapter 8, no kings. But I can see there's almost nobody in here. I'm talking to myself again. Oh, hey, Bryce. But what's funny is you don't show up as one. I have a zero count, Bryce. Okay, now you show up. YouTube, are you fucking with me, you fuckers? Yeah. It's hard to say. A number of years ago, I would have said it would be suicide to attack the United States because it would necessarily lead to a nuclear war. However, there are two things I think that have shifted from my perspective. One, I don't believe there's any guarantee that we have technological dominance. And two, I think our government is weak enough at this point that a lot of Americans would welcome somebody coming in and toppling it. That sounds horrible, but let's be blunt. That's where we're at. I could definitely see the Russians and the Chinese allowing us to descend into civil war, you know, leaving basically not invading in any real sense, taking some property. In that scenario, Greenland and Alaska are gone. But by the same token, they wouldn't really want to invade the continental United States. I think they would let it just descend into chaos. It could happen. I mean, you could imagine in a famine scenario that the entire world would be thinking in terms of land that can produce food. And even with all the Norman Borlaug bullshit, the United States can still produce a lot of food. But there's people living here. I don't know. I want to believe it's not the worst case, because if it is the worst case, then this whole conversation is pointless and stupid. We're talking about nonsense. It could be the escape from LA situation. You know what I'm saying? Escape from LA. Snake Plissken works for a version of Donald Trump who has a lot of religious affliction going on, and he wants to EMP the whole planet and give it earthquakes. Yeah, that sounds like the US government, doesn't it? Oh, this one's actually pretty good. I don't know. I feel like sharing this one. I don't know. I might share it, and then we can just listen to it because it's fun, and we want to be fun and friendly and help and happy. Okay? You guys have to let me know if you hear it, though. Yeah. You cross the ocean just to find your grave. Sacrifice your own boys for a lie. Listen. Yeah. Yeah. Make America great again. Make America great again now. You will see what happens, yeah. Watch this. Sacred defense, we protecting the soil. Why you sacrifice soldiers to pay for your spoil? You push around the globe, sitting on your throne. Now we turning every base into a bed of stone. It's a slaughterhouse, a trap you couldn't see. Welcome to the graveyard of your vanity. The secrets are leaking. The pressure is rising. We locked on the target. Send them to the slaughter, you the only one to blame. Bleeding for a fucker while you shaking in your sweet. L-O-S-E-R. Taste the ass at the feet. L-O-S-E-R. They was spelling that your name. Send them to the slaughter, you the only one to blame. Bleeding for a fucker while you shaking in your sweet. L-O-S-E-R. Taste the ass at the feet. Swiping in your suit, hiding Epstein's ghost. You sent your boys to die on a bloody coast. Not a revenge for the leader's blood is purely mine. Every drop of his blood is a missile on the line. You got your another common name is standing ahead. Yeah, you strike one down, we just shatter your brain. We put another in the lead. Common name again. The secrets are leaking. The pressure is rising. We locked on the target. And now you are hiding. L-O-S-E-R. Yeah, we spelling out your name. Send them to the slaughter, you the only one to blame. Beat it for a puppet while you shaking in your sweet. L-O-S-E-R. Taste the ash. L-O-S-E-R. Okay, it's enough of that, right? Dan, what are you, a traitor to America? No. I think Trump might be a traitor. Ron says 300 soldiers were injured by incoming on the base in Saudi Arabia. How in the hell do they think they will fare trying to set foot on the Iranian soil? They are morons. Well, you're right. They are stupid. But again, in order for us to say they're stupid, we have to think this is kind of real. We have to think this is an actual geopolitical event. We have to believe that they're actually going to sacrifice thousands of Marines and airborne. And then we have to believe it's for the purpose of war. I mean, I'm not saying it's not happening, but folks, it's crazy. And at this point in time, you have the right to reject crazy. We've had 6 years solid of fucking crazy. And I don't even know if it's going to end. Like, I thought Blimptop would last 5 years in part because there's a kind of a time limit on when you can file a lawsuit. And you get past that time limit and you can't file one. And so I figured, okay, in year four, you'd start to see a tsunami of lawsuits. So they wouldn't pull the trigger too early is my point. I don't know. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. People think Trump is Houdini. He's more like Harry Dean Stanton's character from In Repo Man. I'll show you what I mean, motherfucker. Dan, you're crazy.
I am. I'm going crazy. L-O-S-C-R.
Hey, look at that. Look at those assholes over there. Ordinary fucking people. I hate them.
Me too.
What do you know? See, an ordinary person spends his life avoiding tense situations. Repo Man spends his life getting into tense situations.
Then we followed up with assholes. Some advice.
Let's go get a drink. Tense situations, can't get in five or six of them a day, don't mean shit anymore. I mean, I've seen men stabbed, it means shit. Yeah, I've seen guns too, they don't mean shit. But that's when you gotta watch yourself. Here, I'll handle it, pal. Now settle down. Have a night.
I don't know. I kind of, hey, Ron, nice you stopped by, though. I mean it. Nice you stopped by. Yeah. I don't know. At one point in Repo Man, Harry Dean Stanton's character is bitching about all the poor folks who don't pay their bills. And it just made me think about any given Trump speech on any given day. He's either playing a heartless sociopathic buffoon, or he's actually a heartless sociopathic buffoon. And that doesn't mean he's not being controlled. Those types of buffoons are easy to control. Little Greta Thunberg, Al Gore. But I can see there's Gobon people out there watching and observing in the night. You all know the deal. There's no more food for you. The soup is gone. The steak is gone. There's no more pie. No more French fries. No more cheeseburgers. No more chili. No more barbecue. No more date with little Cindy Lou. Your Friday night fantasy is over, and the time of Splunkton flesh has come. Be prepared to hunt for beef in the middle of the night. Be prepared to hunt for flesh when you're in the fright. Go out to the swamps. They say there's food out there. Go into the city. They say there's food out there. Go into the abandoned Costco. They say there's food in there. I think we should feel sad for people being killed. I think we should feel sorry for veterans that are being thrown away, but that's not a new American story. I think we should feel sorry about these victims overseas being blown away by the Israelis and our military, but that's not a new story. I even think we should have compassion for Israelis who frankly are in the wrong place, most of them. And instead of trying to share the land, they consistently steal it over and over again. They treat their neighbors like shit. They go up on a hillside and watch their neighbors burnt alive. And now they want compassion, and yet still the world gives them compassion. But the best fucking advice I can give wretched people who would watch their neighbors be burned alive is get the fuck out. Because when they have an opportunity to treat you the same way, they're gonna. They may not treat you worse, but after Gaza, do they really need to? You know, Israel? Do they need to treat you worse, really? And if the Israelis use a nuke on Iran, then what happens next is Grinken time. It's either the best case scenario Grinken time, which will be ugly as fuck, or it's the worst case scenario, which will be so much worse, I don't want to talk about it. It's over. Once the nukes start flying, it's over. You might as well say they're either setting the restaurant on fire or they know the restaurant will catch fire on its fucking own. Is anybody out there? If you want to call in to the love line, the human love line, the CRAM center, if you want to call into the CRAM, I'll put the number up. You know, you can call in, you can let us know how you're feeling about things at the CRAM center. But remember, you can't just be a blubbly blub, you can't just be a scrubbity scrub. I'm just saying, okay? You got to call in to the CRAM Center. Dan, what do you mean CRAM? I mean CRAM, Toronto, Canada. I've never seen Videodrome. Fuck you, Toronto, Canada. You know, Bryce, I hope the restaurant's okay too, but it looks like they're going to set it on fire or it's going to catch on fire on its own. I don't know. I think it's going to be a crazy-ass summer. And it's already looking crazy, and it's not summer yet. But there is good news. He's up there. You can ask for help, you can say a prayer, you can tell him what you need, and he'll try to be there. We do have somebody looking out for us. We do have somebody looking out for us. If you know, you know. And that's the good news. The bad news is we always knew, those of us who had the faith at any time, we knew that one epic would end and another would begin, and it would be like the birth pains. It would be like childbirth. Has anybody ever seen childbirth? When I was in fifth grade, they made us watch this French movie in color of a woman giving birth. It was part of sex ed. I think a lot of people didn't have sex for at least 10 years after that movie. And so when the Lord says it's going to be like childbirth, and keep in mind, let's have a realistic conversation. Childbirth 2,000 years ago, not the same as childbirth today. Not even remotely close. If the Lord said it was going to be like the birth of a child, you have to understand it's going to be messy and bloody and dangerous, and a lot of the times the mom and the baby don't make it. Back then, you know. So the Lord didn't lie. He said it would be messy. And if it ends up being messy, we can't call him a liar. But he also said that he was coming back. He said he was returning for us. He said he was going to be here to help us. And he also said that while he was away, he would give us the Holy Spirit to help. He would leave us with the Word as a guide. He would ask us to be disciples. I won't claim that I've been a good disciple. I've been a shitty disciple. But these are the things he asked. So when we're staring into the darkness, if you're a person of faith, remember, it's not the first time. Other people of faith have been here before. And if you're staring into the darkness and you're an atheist, that's okay. Guess what? When that little salamander fuck was crawling out of the sea, I don't know, let's say 400 million years ago, and the first thing he did was look the fuck around and say to himself, I'm going back. But you can call the C-RAM butt RAM crisis number in Toronto, Canada. You can call me up. You can tell me about your problems. We can discuss the world. If it's too difficult and painful, if you have a blockage, that's okay. If your emotional situation requires straightening out, this is the emotional rescue line. Do you guys need emotional rescue? Can you see the movement of my fingers? For those of you listening through an audio feed, you can't see that I'm using the power of my fingers to control people's minds. You have to send me all your money. I'm the Marshall Cheeto Bandito. Okay, send me your cash now. That way I can have hookers and cocaine. Because that's all I gotta look forward to. Is hookers and cocaine. I'll go to the casino. I'll bet on blackjack. I'll make some money. I'll find a honey. Well, my friend Ron, what you've described would fit into the category of somewhere between a 1,000-year and a 10,000-year event. And yeah, it could be. You might have nailed it. The point is, it's not the Great Depression. It's not the 1970s. It's not a repeat of the Great Financial Crisis. And even though it may start as the collapse of the dollar, even more bright sighting, it won't end there. These things are connected. People don't understand it. It's like CalPERS. I kind of thought CalPERS would implode before everything else did, but it really is a lot of plates in the air, and they're going to keep all the plates spinning as long as they can. But CalPERS, the California Pension Fund, is a big old basket of garbage. Everybody knows it's a basket of paper garbage, but they're going to keep it going. The garbage gets inflated until the very end. By the way, my friend Ron, it's not accidental that they made everything digital. It's not accidental that they put you in the cloud. Oh, you feel so proud. You're all computer. No more book, no more typewriter, no more paper. That was on purpose. Because when the time comes, they want to erase it all. Every Epstein file, every Trump picture, every movie, there's no paper. And if there were, it's been shredded already. Yeah, I think there's a reason why they put all their eggs in a digital basket. Because when the time comes and they gotta set fire to the restaurant, well, let's refresh ourselves on what the fuck that means, right? Dan, what do you mean by that? Well, we're all guilty of cocaine, so let's just play pretend that we're gonna do some cocaine here, okay? Bum, ba-da. Good fellas. Restaurant scene, 5,000. Oh boy. Oh boy. Let's just see. New Old Spice Cosmic Crust 24. New Old Spice Critical Custy Cruster 9000.
Dan, you're a bastard son of a bitch. I know. I am a bastard son of a bitch. Please, Ron, let me know when you can see the screen. This is Marshall Cheeto talking. Let me know, Ron. I'm pumping iron like Al Pacino in you know, Cruising until you let me know you can see the screen. I'm just pumping. Okay, cool. You didn't want to see me pumping iron.
Now the guy's got Paulie as a partner. Any problems, he goes to Paulie. Trouble with the bill, he can go to Paulie. Trouble with the cops, deliveries, Tommy, he can call Paulie. But now the guy's got to come up with Paulie's money every week, no matter what. Business bad? Fuck you, pay me. Oh, you had a fire? Fuck you, pay me. Place got hit by lightning, huh? Fuck you, pay me. Also, Paulie could do anything, especially run up bills on the joint's credit. And why not? Nobody's gonna pay for it anyway. And as soon as the deliveries are made in the front door, you move the stuff out the back and sell it at a discount. You take a $200 case of booze and you sell it for $100. It doesn't matter, it's all profit. And then finally, when there's nothing left,
fucking shit,
and you can't borrow another buck from the bank or buy another case of booze, you bust the joint out. You light a match. Any help reaching anything?
And I know, Dan, that's not it. It's more complicated than that. Dan. I hope you guys heard and saw that. All 85, 9, 1 of you, given the bandwidth. You know, none of it adds up with YouTube and me. I have virtually no subscribers, but I have lots of lag time. Do you know I get lots of people who email me links, but when I send my links to people, they don't forward them. Isn't that weird? Oh, readjust your microphone, Edge, you bullshit son of a bitch. Remember, you can call in to the CRAM Crisis Center hotline. Butt-ram, C-ram, hotline, you can call in, tell us your problems. I don't fucking care. You're out there, you can call in to the C-ram-style love line. To the crisis hotline, you can talk to me. I am able to connect with the mind of the Cheeto Bandito, the Marshall Dorito, the guy who is the Mango Django. We're talking about the Duke of Orange. I can connect to his mind and I can answer questions. Think of me as the magic great ball. Not the eight ball, I'm the great ball. You shake me. I tell you what's going on. Call in before it's too late. You may not hear me tomorrow. Is tomorrow 1 week? What are you guys talking about? Yeah. Nobody wants to call in, huh? Well, it's 106 minutes, hour and 6 minutes into this podcast. Ron, it's been almost a week, but spring break started on Friday, so in theory, I might not hear back from the school district until after spring break. And I'm just not going to worry about it. Life will happen as it happens. There are good things and bad things about small towns. I'll leave it there. But you can call in to the love line, Ron, and I can give you advice on your chickens. Are you still turning the eggs, Ron? Your kids expect you to turn those eggs, motherfucker. Are you still turning the eggs, Ron? Are you still working on the frickin' eggs? Your kids depend upon you, Ron. If you don't turn those eggs, there'll come a time when they will need the eggs and you won't have the eggs. You better turn the eggs. That's a life power. I am using my ability to transfer. I'm like Darth Vader, okay? But I'm of greater power. I can take my fist through space and time and grab you by the neck and say, you better turn those eggs for your fucking kids. Well, you know, it doesn't look like anyone's calling in, and it doesn't look like you guys have any questions. It mostly seems like I'm being monitored by my five fed friends. Oh, you had a small styrofoam chest that would have worked for a dozen eggs, but there are four dozen, so the son bought a larger incubator. Well, you always have to get a bigger incubator, Ron. You may have to incubate other types of eggs, Ron. You ever hear of a modest proposal, Ron? Yeah. Turn on the incubator. Set it for a while. I'm beating up on you, Ron. You're a cool dude. I would love to meet you people one day. I don't know who is out there. It would be great. Peacock eggs? Quail eggs? Maybe. I don't know. Quail eggs. What about... Yeah. I thought about getting into cane rat farming. Cane rat, I thought, would be the new red meat. You could raise the cane rat in your backyard. If your neighbor had a cornfield and you didn't like them, you could release the cane rat into their cornfield. Oh, I'm kidding. Too late for me to become a farmer, but it's not too late for me to be on the menu. So my expectation is, if I'm still alive this time next year, I'll be running from the cannibals, the pothead cannibals of Sector 27 Alpha, which used to be called Washington State, and they'll be chasing after me. They'll smell my sweat from 50 miles away. I'll find myself on a rocky peak in the Olympic Mountains, nearly out of ammo, but with one or two knives. And instead of allowing these slinking, slunking, functral freaks to eat upon my mangus flesh, I would dive into a volcano. Is that selfish? I don't know. Ron, I did exercise today, but thanks for asking. You gonna check up on that every time? Are you gonna check up on me? So it's around 6:11 p.m. and we've been doing this for about an hour, and we could keep. I need somebody to needle me to extra. Okay, I can't needle you, Ron. I could send you dirty needles I find at the Chevron station. That's as close as I'm gonna come to needling you. I could show you how I darn socks. I put a sock in front of me with holes in it, and I go, "Darn you, sock. Darn you. Darn it." Darn you, socks. Yeah, there's a weather change afoot. All of the weather edgelords say that the Gulf Stream and the Jet Stream and the Local Stream have gotten all wobbly. The doctor of science who talks about the weather said, whether or not you believe her, her dress is tight, her eyes are bright, it's going to be mostly cloudy, and then it will be mostly sunny. Yes, those 30-mile-per-hour gusts can be crazy, Ron. They can tear you to pieces. They can change your world. If you open up some sort of, I don't know, large sheet or parachute envelope or sail from a sailboat, you can fly away, Ron, like James and the Magic Peach. Well, you can power yourself with the wind, Ron. They say you can power a spaceship with the solar wind and the sun. You could build a solar sail, Ron, and travel to the nearest star. Traveling there, you'll achieve cosmic awareness and be prepared to upload alien artifacts. You'll take those artifacts back to me. You'll bring them to me, and we will rule Planet 3. We'll be the two kings. We'll be the queen and the king. Oops, I mean we'll be the two dukes. I'll be the Duke of Earl. Yeah. I don't know, man. You ever hear about Gravity Hill? Dan, what's Gravity Hill? I bet we could find a YouTube video, right? Gravity Hill. That's incredible. That's incredible. That's incredible. Gravity Hill. I wonder if they got it. Do they? Do they have the That's Incredible episode? God damn it. They don't have any That's Incredible on the internet. This is bullshit. Gravity Hill in Lewisberry, Pennsylvania.
I was helpless in this case. It's irresistible. She's a body.
What? Hi, this is Jim from UncoveringPA.com.
So why don't we just see if I can share this before I do anything. Please, Ron, please, let me know when you see this. Please let me know.
Hi, this is Jim from UncoveringPA.com, and I'm here at Gravity Hill in Lewisberry, Pennsylvania. This is a really cool spot where it appears your car rolls uphill. Several different Gravity Hills here in Pennsylvania. In my opinion, this is by far the best of the three, comparing the one in Pittsburgh's North Park as well as Bedford County. It really looks like it's uphill. It's hard even standing outside to kind of see how it's a downhill. If you have a chance, I definitely recommend checking
whatever.
This one out.
Whatever. I was hoping it was being... Well, this is sucks. That's not spooky. That's not spooky. Fuck. I'm just so disappointed. We used to have That's Incredible when I was a kid, Ron. That's incredible. Let me see. You know what? Let's see. God, that sucks. Let's find that. That's incredible intro. Let's see if I can share this, Ron, but I need to tell me as soon as you see it. As soon as you see it. You just gotta tell me, Ron, when you see this.
You'll be meeting these men. They're the world's most incredible talkers.
I'm Kathy Lee Crosby. This is Jim Bullet Bailey. He'll be dragged down the track while holding on to this metal sled to over 160 miles an hour.
I'm Fran Tarkenton.
Weeks ago, we showed you exclusive footage of the heroic rescue operation performed by the Air Force at the MGM Grand Hotel in Las Vegas. You'll meet some of the men who flew that courageous mission.
On tonight's edition of...
That's Incredible.
That's incredible. That's what we used to have when we were kids, Ron, and they took it from us. They took it from us. They used to tell us the truth. They told us about psychic surgery. They told us about that kid who could play music, and even though he's blind. What are friends for? War? No. Friendship. Yes, That's Incredible showed us that the world was magical. That there were aliens and freaks. Dudes that would drag themselves. down a barren street. So unless somebody wants to call in to the CRAM emotional rescue phone line, which I don't see anybody wanting to call in, I think I have to call this an ending to a great Sunday. If we're really lucky, you know, we'll talk about this tomorrow or next week. We'll just be chatting, right? I've already heard that the price of ground beef has gone up a little bit much, but maybe it'll go down again when those magical beef arrive from Argentina. And we got all that Venezuela oil, we're okay. And we can eat eggs and biscuits. Before we say goodbye, I'd like to say something. Lord in heaven, watch over my friends and family. Watch over to the people listening to my madness. Watch over the folks out there in my community and around the world. Watch over the world and help to bring us to peace. We are grateful for the food that we have. We're grateful for the shelter and the water. We are grateful for the things that we need that are provided. And we are grateful when you give us the things we want. We know that what we want and need is not always part of the plan, but we are grateful nonetheless for what we receive. In your name, we serve Jesus Christ. Amen. I'll catch up with you guys later, okay? Goodbye.